Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Paul was killing the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his name was Saul before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he was having the church stoned. He was arresting them. He was persecuting the church. And how many people would have said, well, there's no way. I mean, that person is just can't be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so against the church and against the body of Christ that when he did get saved, he was on his way, on his high horse, going to Damascus to persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knocks him off his high horse. A big bright light shows up. It just glazes over his eyes. You know, it dries out his eyes like fish scales. It's so bright. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure he's thinking, this is probably not good. I mean, this is before bright headlights or halogen lights on any other horse.
Yeah, right.
This is like they're not the kind of light around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he falls to the ground, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, to speak against the body of Christ in a wrong way is to speak against Jesus. That's why we're for the whole body,
mm-hmm.
You know, and we're not for the spirit that says that it's against the words of God. And he said, I think I messed up, Jesus. But he was so dedicated towards bringing destruction to the church when Ananias was sent to the house to go pray for, you know, Saul. Ananias is going, hello,
mm-hmm.
Don't you know who this man is? Mm-hmm. Don't you understand who he is? I mean, he's been trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to kill church. He was on his way. He had his whole crew heading our way to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
Had a letter from the high dude in the high church. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, shut up and do what I told you to do. No, he just said, go ahead, pray for him. He shows up, there he is, just like God said, blind. Prayed for him and said, let me show you some, the Lord's going to show you some things that you must suffer for him, and changed his name from Saul to Paul.
Mm.
But see, they were scared of him. I mean, listen, God, you could believe God to win the most horrific dude in your community, the most wildest woman in your community, because they're the ones that are going to do some awesome things for God. They're not going to be this religious mindset trying to worry about what the hair looks like while they're going for God, or, you know, they're perfectly ironed clothes and stuff that we're talking about in the first part of this hour, or what Pharisees think about them. It reminds me to think about one of the men that Steve Hill, with Steve Hill's ministry, Together in the Harvest, had won to the Lord, and he was like a Hell's Angel type dude.
Mm.
And he was in the bathroom with other people in the commercial bathroom or whatever, and they're using the restroom, washing their hands or what. He's washing his hands, and some man comes in there and begins to cuss God's name. I mean, it just got all over this tough dude who loves Jesus. I mean, you're talking about Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so he said, you better knock it off. If you don't knock this off, he says, I'm going to put your head in that toilet. You don't talk about my Jesus like that.
Mm.
You know, he wasn't worried about anything, was he? And, of course, a few moments later, Steve was saying, can't do this. Get his head out the water. You know, they're not worried about that. They're just like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And that's how Saul was, which became Paul. He was willing to go into a city. Oh, my goodness. There's so many excuses in the body of Christ, and the most of them is about convenience, comfort, and money.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so radical that he could walk into a city like Ephesus when there's nothing but demonic worship, you know, idol making Diana things going on, a big, huge port city, a big metropolis type city that we would think of today.
Mm.
And he began to believe God, that God could move in that city. He was the first one to show up in that city, Ephesus, and began to just explode with the truth of God.
Mm.
One man, one city, totally dark. He carried the light. Why? Because he was a man that just needed to be touched by God. Yeah, he was a wild man, but you understand, God used that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
He loved God, and he was willing to say, I'm all yours. I mean, he was willing to suffer. I mean, when a word came out, it said that, whoever has this belt is going to be bound in Rome. He's like, psh.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, I have no problem suffering.
That's why I'm going.
That's why I'm going. You just got tapped into what I already know already.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go, oh my goodness, I must not go because I will get less of a paycheck. It's like, he's like, oh my goodness, my union might fire me. Are you serious? My wife won't let me go. Oh my goodness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? My children, they're in the 10th, 8th grade, and I just don't want to remove them from this wonderful godly education system of America to go obey the Lord and move into a city to be able to plant the church.
Right.
Are you serious? Come on. I'm not talking about just maverick, wild, and rebellious. I'm talking about so wild and so radical that you do what God says, and you're totally out of the fear of God, submitted to his love and leadership in your life. Listen, you can win cities for God. We're looking for men and women who are break loose from the religious, pharisaical, sadduceical mindsets, the religious bondage of our nation that'll say, you know what? I believe God. Everything that God says I can do and he can do through me can happen. The book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operations manual. This is how the church is supposed to act. This is what God does. I mean, either God is God or he's not.
Right.
I mean, you need to ask this question to yourself. Either God is God or he's not. And he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Either God can or he can't. You got to ask yourself, by the way, he can. But if you don't have the right answers to these two questions, you're going to be held captive.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God loves you, no matter where you are in this equation. But understand, we're looking for a few who will stand up like Paul, who will stand up like Peter, who will stand up like James, who will stand up like Billy Graham, who will stand up like Amy Simple McPherson, who will stand up like John Paul Jackson, or stand up like Steve Hill, or stand up like John Kilpatrick, stand up like Michael Brown. Who in this generation is going to stand up like a Pat Robinson, or stand up and say, you know what? All this crew has served their generation well, but where are you to serve this generation? We're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for you. You're going to have to bust out. There's a birthing process, and you can't do it alone. But listen, we're looking for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of Gideon's army. I mean, think about Gideon's army. What are the qualifications? The weakest and least likely.
That's right.
Check.
Check, check.
The things that are not to nullify the things that are.
That's right.
Check. Think about it. The weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Check.
What does one weak man say to another weak man? Let's pray. If you don't have that let's pray mindset, you don't realize how weak you are yet.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's so funny, Pat and I'll look at each other and just stare. Nothing's happening over here. You got an answer coming? No. We need to pray. And God comes through. It's amazing, isn't it?
Every time.
Which confirms, check.
Check, check, check.
I mean, think about it. Like right now, as we're speaking, a former Marine, if there is a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine, Stephen Kalashevsky, who served 2 tours of duty in Iraq. He defended us. He fought for us. He laid down with his brothers his freedom to go fight for our freedom for a time in the United States Marine Corps. And now he comes back and he begins to wonder what life's about, and he cries out to God, and God meets him. You can go to the VFN Torch and hear his testimony. You know, Marine encounters God. It was a powerful, powerful Saul-like transformation as he cried out to God, and God showed up so powerfully that he had to pause for a moment and think, oh, he's real now? I feel him, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is that you, God? And he went through the process because he knew that I needed to get rightly related, and I needed to get connected, and I needed to be discipled. I needed to know the ways of Jesus. And then I want to be trained up and go through VFNU, and I want to have family around me because we're called to be family and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And he decides to join Gideon's army. And today, as we speak, today, because he responded to the call that I'm talking to you about right now,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is about to be blessed.
That's right.
Why? Because he's being the first. Mm-hmm. He's the first to carry what this generation's going to do for God. Listen, what you're seeing primarily in America is what the past generation has done, and that is so cool, and it is God. You need to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, there's a new wind blowing across this nation. Everything that's been before is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank with you, a lot of people just need to let go and let God.
Right.
As Chuck Pierce said, that we're being held captive because we won't let go of what God's wanting to take control of in his church,
mm-hmm.
the government of the church. And because Steve listened, because he said, yes, here I am, God, send me. I mean, he was willing to go and fight for your freedom, and now he's willing to fight for the freedom of those in Pittsburgh. He's going to plant a church in Pittsburgh to tell them about the love of God. He's already gone and spied out the land. You got to hear it. You got to hear the stories of what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting. It's not about what religion's made it out to be. Listen, I mean, Easter is so important about what happened that day, but listen, it's more than an Easter play. Every single day of your life should be filled with great excitement and expectation and abiding with him and launching out and going into new cities. I mean, you're going to spend eternity either regretting not doing this, or dreading what you did instead, or celebrating gratitude, thinking, I'm so glad I did not waste one moment of that, because this life is so short.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all of eternity to think about it. And nothing truly satisfies, you know it is, other than obeying God, living in God's presence. We're created for his presence. We were made to love him. And loving him is obeying him. He empowers us to be able to love him and to go this out. So here he is, this Marine. Now he's in Gideon's army, headed to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Big old U-Haul truck, car being pulled behind it to plant a church. Why? Because he's like Paul. He's like Paul. He said, here I am, right? Like Isaiah, right. Send me. I believe, God, that you can win Pittsburgh. That you love the people of Pittsburgh,
yeah.
And you want me to tell them that you love them and you have a plan for your life, and you want me to preach your kingdom to them one by one, and you want me to begin to connect and relate, and those that believe, you want me to baptize them in the three rivers,
mm-hmm.
and disciple them. What do you believe in God for? Another car?
Mm.
Another raise? A bigger cable package,
mm-hmm.
a third relationship. Really, come on. Think about it. Live life on the edge of obeying God. This generation needs leaders. Listen, Gideon's army's qualifications, read about Gideon. Gideon was sitting in a wine press, eking out a living because everybody, the entire nation, was under great oppression. Welcome to the future. And an angel shows up and sees him. He was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites would come in, and that name means strife,
mm-hmm.
would come in, and every time they would get something going, they would steal it and stomp on it and take their stuff and things, and people were hiding in caves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God was about to move powerfully. I mean, it looked like it was just terrible. How could this be? How could God about to move? And Gideon is hiding. He's not in a wine press because it's a good place to work. He's there because so the Midianites won't see him working, so he can get some wheat for his family to go feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then God sends a messenger, and I really believe right now you're hearing me, I'm your messenger. And he looks at Gideon, the weakest and the least likely.
Mm-hmm.
He's hiding from the oppression. He cannot live in, and he says, mighty man of valor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. Who is this man?
You know? Right.
That's basically what he's saying. Is like, listen, I don't want to hear any more about this old-time religion. I don't want to hear historically what happened in your generation. The question I have for you, what's going to happen in our generation?
Right.
What happened in your generation does me no good. It saves no one in this generation. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the Gideon in this generation? Who's going to obey the plans of God? Who's going to say, I know what you did, and I know it worked in your generation, but now more people are leaving God than coming to him. Everything's upside down in the church.
Right.
There's great stress and oppression. Gross darkness is covering the face of the earth. And you're eking out 11. And I'm saying, mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of virtue.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. The same God of past generations is still God today. We've been looking for you. But listen, there's very few Marines, not a lot of Marines. They call them the tip of the spear. When they sign their papers to get in, they say, listen, you know, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. That's what they say. And what an awesome thing. That's why you admire Marines, what they're willing to do, the tip of the spear for our freedom.
Right.
And all of our military forces. But you know what? When you join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, not physical army, when you join this army of God, you got to sign the papers. I mean, if you've tried to join the army of God and you haven't signed these papers, you're whining a lot. Because you find out every day your life's being demanded from you. Your schedule's being demanded from you. What you want's being demanded from you. It's like a dead man, a dead woman doesn't even complain about it.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's going to cost me this, it's going to cost me that. It's like, you haven't enlisted yet. Oh, you didn't read the small print.
Right.
And it's miserable being tied between two opinions. You got to decide what you're going to do. Is it not important for us to be the Billy Grahams of our generation? Is it not important for us to be the Coach McCartneys of our generation? I mean, who's going to do it? Who is going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Listen, break all that stuff. Mindsets are saying that you got to be attached to what was. It's time to be attached to what is. God is doing a new thing. You will not be able to even imagine what God's about to do on the earth. He's about to do something so powerful. There's going to be a wave, a tidal wave of awesomeness. Yes, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best of times for the church. The church is going to rise to its occasion. Whether America stands or falls, the church is going to rise to its most awesome harvest it's ever seen. But the question is, are you going to join the ranks? Quit blaming everybody. It's your choice. It sounded good when you blamed everybody for not enlisting in the army, but the truth is, it's your choice. Are you going to be the ones who write about what happened because you go with Jesus? Or are you going to be the ones that read about what happened because you got to wait for them to send you the book because you chose not to go with them?
Right.
Some people write about it, and most people read about it. We're looking for a few good, humble, willing Sauls.
Yeah.
That understands we need God. And read Judges chapter 7. You can see it was a journey
mm-hmm.
for Gideon.
Yeah.
But it started with, okay, I'll do it. What's so cool about this is we've been preparing for you for a long time.
Yes.
We've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. The apostolic foundation has been laid. And so we've put these things together for what took us a season of of sowing and harvesting and learning and hearing and precept upon precept. I mean, I go back and I look in Vine Fellowship Network University. I go back to see some of these revelations that God has given us that's waiting for you to taste and see that's good. And I'm amazed because it's been like one continual prophetic word utterance that just continued to come and come and come and come. It's not what religion has made it out to be. I stand amazed because you understand prophecy is the person who's prophesying. They're not that word. God is using them to speak that word out, and they can end up taking notes on themselves because you're thinking, oh my goodness, that didn't come from me. That can't. God's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something. And I looked and I said, my goodness. But the question is, are you going to turn to politics? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn to religion? Are you going to turn to a relationship? Are you going to join the army of God and say, you know what? I want to be that person this generation. This generation is worth giving my life for. God gave his life for me, his son's life for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my life for him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to love God because he says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. Everybody wants to keep it. It's like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you this morning, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org, and check out. It's happening. You can go to greglancasterministries.org, and you can see everything that's happening in the context of that. God's doing many things across the earth. And this is just one of the things that he's doing. But if I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, nothing happens by accident.
Mm-mm.
It's time to respond. We're looking for a few good men. Actually, a few humble men, because the only one is good is God. He just wants his goodness to come through you. Find out more at greglancasterministries.org.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.